Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're at Sechaz Erevin Daf Kuf Beis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings several teachings of the Rabbanan is for building a temporary ohel. Hanu dichri dehavigoyu Rav Huna. Rav Huna had some rams that required shade from the sun in the daytime and required fresh air at night. During the week, mats were spread out over their pen by day to provide shade and removed at night to provide ventilation. Rav Huna came before Rav and asked him how he should give the ram shade on Shabbos day without creating an ohel. Rav answered that when he wants to expose the pen before dark Erev Shabbos, zil kruk budya v'shar b'tefach, go and roll up the mat, but leave one tefach spread out, l'machar pashta, then the following day on Shabbos, unroll it. He explained that since the mat was already spread out a tefach before Shabbos, the one who rolls the rest of it on Shabbos, mosi v'ohel rai v'shaper dami, is only adding to an already existing temporary structure, and that is permitted. Point number two, the second Mishnah on the Daf states, according to the Tanakhama, Machzirin Tzira Tachnun B'Migdash Avlo B'Medina. One may reinsert a bottom pivot in the base of Migdash, but not in the provinces, and the top pivot may not be reinserted neither in the provinces nor in the base of Migdash. The Gemara clarifies that replacing the lower pivot is an Isur the Rabbanan, out of concern that one will hammer it in. There's a rule that Ein Shvus B'Migdash, the Rabbanan suspended the decrees when they interfere with the Avod in the base of Migdash. Replacing the upper pivot, however, which makes the door functional, is an Issur D'oraisa, since the Tanakhama holds Yesh Binyan Mekelim. Building with Kelim is the Malacha Bona. Therefore, it's Asur even in the base of Migdash. Rav Yehuda says that even the top pivot may be reinserted in the base of Migdash, since he holds that Ein Binyan Mekelim. It's only an Issur D'Rabbanan, and therefore it's permitted in the base of Migdash, and he holds that the lower pivot is Mutter even outside the base of Migdash. And point number three, the next mission deals with a Kohen with a wound who deliberately removed a bandage with the dressing to perform the Avodah so that it wouldn't constitute a Chatzitza. And now he wishes to replace it. Machzirin Ratiya B'Migdash. One may replace a dressing in the base of Migdash for the sake of Avoda, but not in the provinces, as that would be an Issur D'Rabbanan. Rashi explains that the Rabbanan were concerned that one may commit the malach of smoothing out the dressing. Even though replacing the dressing is normally forbidden, even in the base of Migdash, the Rabbanan granted a special dispensation. They were concerned that if the Kohen would not be allowed to replace the dressing after doing the Avoda, he would choose to keep the bandage on and refrain from doing the Avoda. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara brings several teachings of the Rabbanan is for building a temporary ohel. Hanu dichri dehavili Rav Huna. Rav Huna had some rams that required shade from the sun in the daytime and required fresh air at night. During the week, mats were spread out over their pen by day to provide shade and were removed at night to provide ventilation. Rav Huna came before Rav and asked him how he should give the rams shade on Shabbos day without creating an ohel. Rav answered that when he wants to expose the pen before dusk, Erev Shabbos, zil kruch budya v'shayir b'tefach, go and roll up the mat, but leave one tefach spread out, l'machar pashta, then the following day on Shabbos, unroll it. He explained that since the mat was already spread out a tefach before Shabbos, one who unrolls the rest of it on Shabbos, mosi va'ohel arai v'shaper dami, is only adding to an already existing temporary structure, and that's permitted. And point number two, the second Mishnah on the Daf states, according to the Tanakhama, Machzirin Tzira Tachnun B'Migdash V'lo B'Medina. One may reinsert a bottom pivot in the base of Migdash, but not in the provinces. And the top pivot may not be reinserted neither in the provinces nor in the base of Migdash. The Gemara clarifies that replacing the lower pivot is an Issur D'Rabbanan out of concern that one will hammer it in. There's a rule, Ein Shvus B'Migdash. The Rabbanan suspended the decrees when they interfere with the abode in the base of Migdash. Replacing the upper pivot, however, makes the door functional. And it's an Issur D'Oraisa since the Tanakhama holds Yesh Binyan Mekelim. Building with Kelim is the Malach Bona. Therefore, it's Asur even in the base of Migdash. Rav Yehuda says that even the top pivot may be reinserted in the base of Migdash. Since he holds Ein Binyan Mekelim, it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. And therefore, it's permitted in the base of Migdash. And he holds that the lower pivot is Mutter even outside the base of Migdash. And point number three, the next Mishnah deals with a Kohen with a wound who deliberately removed a bandage with the dressing to perform the Avodah so they would not constitute a Chatzitza. And now he wishes to replace it. Machzirin Ratiya B'Migdash. One may replace a dressing in the base of Migdash for the sake of Avodah, but not in the provinces, as that would be an Issur D'Rabbanan. Rashi explains that the Rabbanan were concerned that one may commit the malach of smoothing out the dressing. Even though replacing the dressing is normally forbidden, even in the base of Migdash, the Rabbanan granted a special dispensation. They were concerned that if the Kohen would not be allowed to replace the dressing after doing the Avodah, he would choose to keep the bandage on and refrain from doing the Avodah. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Beis, and this Siman comes to us by way of Moshe Raps from Yerushalayim, Yisrael Olsberg from Ramat Beit Shemesh, and Nathaniel Jacob from Great Neck, New York. They all suggested a caveman. So that's our Siman for Kuf Beis. Here goes. The careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen knocked the door off its bottom pivot, injuring the Kohen shepherd who need to be bandaged up the day before we are scheduled to do the avoda. Once again, in slow motion. The careless caveman, that must be more in Duff Kuf Beis. The careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen, which reminds us, Rav advised Rav Huna that if he wants to expose the pen before dusk Erev Shabbos, he should go up and roll the mat, but leave one tefach spread out, and then the following day on Shabbos, unroll it. He explained that since the mat was already spread out a tefach before Shabbos, the one who unrolls the rest of it on Shabbos is only adding to an ohal rai, to an already existing temporary structure, and that is permitted. So the careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen knocked the door off its bottom pivot, which reminds us, it's a Malchokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda regarding reinserting bottom and top pivots in the base of Migdash and in the provinces. So the careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen knocked the door off its bottom pivot, injuring the Kohen Shepherd who need to be bandaged up the day before he was scheduled to do the Avoda, which reminds us that one may replace a dressing in the base of Migdash for the sake of Avoda, but not in the provinces, as that would be an issur de Rabban. Rashi explains that the Rabban were concerned that one may come to commit the malach of smoothing out the dressing. Even though replacing the dressing is normally forbidden, even in the base of Migdash, the Rabban granted a special dispensation. They were concerned that the Kohen would not be allowed to replace the dressing after doing the Avoda. He would choose to keep the bandage on and refrain from doing the Avoda at all. So once again, the careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen knocked the door off its bottom pivot, injuring the Kohen Shepherd who needed to be bandaged up the day before he was scheduled to do the Avoda. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Hazara. Dav Tzadiches. So the symbol of Dav Tzadiches is clowns, chok, clowns. Here goes. The circus clowns, that must be run Dav Tzadiches. The circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on an iskupa, which reminds us. The Mishnah on the bottom of Dav Tzadi Zainam Bay stated, if one was reading a scroll on a threshold, and one end of the scroll rolled from his hand and landed in Rishus of Rabin below, he may roll it into himself. The Gemara asks, what's the case of the threshold? The Gemara suggests that the threshold is a Rishus Yachid, it's 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high, and the sefer rolled into the Rishus of Rabin in front of it. Even though there's concern that the scroll might fall out of his hands into the Rishus of Rabin, and he might come to bring it from the Rishus of Rabin back onto the threshold, we're not gozer the Rabban, because Rav Yehuda says the ratio of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon who holds, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus eino omed b'fnei kisvei kodesh. No law which is only of rabbinic origin stands in the way of treating kisvei kodesh with their due respect. The Gemara brings two more approaches. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a yiskupa, and the other read up on the roof, which reminds us, the next case in the Mishnah stated, Hayikor b'rosh agag, if one was reading a scroll on a roof and it rolled into Rishus Rabin below, if it reached within 10 tefachim of the ground, he may not roll it in. Rather, he should turn it over on its written side so that the lettering is unexposed and leave it there until after Shabbos. The Gemara asks if it's permitted to turn Kisvei Kodesh over on the written side based on a brace of the Tot, Kosvei Svarim Tefillin Mezuzos. Those who write Sifrei Torah Tefillin Mezuzos are not allowed to turn the parchment face down to protect the lettering from dust, or porous aleh as a baguette, but rather one should spread a garment over it. The Gemara answers that the Brice is talking about where it's possible to cover the written side with a garment, but in the Mishnah's case, it's not possible since it would require a very large garment. And if he doesn't turn it over on the written side, ekeb bizyon kisvei kodesh tvei, there'll be a greater disgrace to the kisvei kodesh than if he were to turn it over and conceal the writing. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine, while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, as a third clown kept dropping his glass utensils that he put out on the window ledge. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ziz shulifnei chalon nosin alav menot mimena b'shabbos. If there were a ledge 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim off the ground in front of a window, one who is in the building may put things on it and remove things from it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what type of rishus the Ziz was extending into. If it was rishus of Rabbim, there should be a concern that something might fall off the edge and someone might come to bring it back in the rishus of Yachid. Abai answers that the ledge is extending into rishus of Rabbim, and the Mishnah was referring to kelim and shibarim, breakable utensils such as earthenware or glass. Since they'll break if they fall off, there's no concern that someone will retrieve them. Dav Tzadites. So the similar Dav Tzadites is a cheetah. So here goes. While one cheetah, that must be wrong, Dav Tzadites. While one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus of Rabbim, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of Dav Tzadites on Bay stated, Yamad ad Rishus Yachid yashim Rishus of Rabbim, a person may not stand in Rishus Yachid and urinate into Rishus Rabbim. Rishus Rabbim yashim Rishus Yachid, or stand in Rishus Rabbim and urinate into Rishus Yachid. Vechen will yarok. And similarly, one may not spit from one Rishus to another. On this daf, Rabbi Yosef said, Hishtim v'rak chayv chatas. One who did urinate or spit from one rishus to another is chai v'chatas. The Gemara challenged Rav Yosef's ruling, but in regards to Hotzah, we require that a Kirin Hanacha be performed on an area that is 4 Tfachim square, which is a significant area, and therefore in this case, where it is not coming from a place that's 4 Tfachim, there is no act of Akira. The Gemara answers that his Machshava Mashvi Elei Makom, his intent makes it a significant area, meaning that since he intended that this object leave this particular place, this place becomes significant, and therefore his action of Akira is considered a halachic act of Akira. So while one cheated chase an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabim right in front of his Rebbe, which reminds us, Reish Lakish said, Keach bifnei rabu chai misa, one who coughs up phlegm in the presence of his Rebbe is liable to death at the hands of heaven. And it says, Kol masanai ahavu mavis, all those who hate me, the Torah, love death. Altikra masanai, don't read it as it's written, those who hate me, el lamas ni'ai, rather those who cause others to hate me. If a Talmud acts in such a vulgar manner, he'll cause people to hate Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Gemara clarifies that we're discussing someone who coughed up phlegm and spat it out in front of his teacher when he could have turned aside or coughed up the phlegm into a cloth. So while one cheated chase an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabim right in front of his Rebbe, a second one pursued his friend who drank water directly from the gutter less than 3 tfachim from the roof. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kod adam min hamachzil matam yud tfachim, a person standing in Rishus Rabim may hold up a vessel in the air and catch water that's falling from a gutter which is lower than 10 tfachim from the ground. The Gemara says that the Mishnah implies kol in of a mitzaref lo. Catching the water in midair as it falls from the gutter is permitted, but pressing one's mouth or a vessel to the gutter is not. The Gemara asks why the latter is forbidden. Rav Nachman answers, Hachaba machzila pachas meshloisha samach gagaskinan. We're dealing here with a gutter that is less than 3 tfachim from the roof of the building. The kol pachas meshloisha samach gag kagagdami. And anything less than 3 tfachim from the roof has the status of the roof itself, based on Lavid. Therefore, anyone who takes directly from the gutter while standing in Rishus HaRabim is chai for transferring from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Daf Kuf. So the Simmer Daf Kuf is a monkey. A monkey. So here goes. The curious monkey. Monkey? That must mean we're in Daf Kuf. The curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Tes on a base pertaining to a tree. Shrash of Gvoim Mina Arad Shlosh Tvachim Lo Yeshiv Alehen. If its roots protrude upwards out of the ground to a height of 3 tfachim above the ground, one may not sit on them. On this daf, there's malchokas in the case of roots of a tree that protrude upwards and then bend downwards from above 3 to within 3 tfachim of the ground, whether one can make use of the part of each root which drops to within 3 tfachim of the ground. Rava says, Mutu ishtamish behem is permitted to make use of them. The kol pachas meshloshet da'ara arihi, because anything less than 3 tfachim above the ground is halachically regarded as ground. Rav Sheshe says, Asli Shtamish Behen, it's forbidden to make use of them. The cave in the Mekoch Isrka Asi Asurin, since they emanate from a prohibited section, meaning the part of the root which is above 3 Tfachim, they too are prohibited. So the curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner, which reminds us, as part of a larger discussion whether it's meritorious for a woman to petition her husband and request marital relations, the Gemara brings a statement from Yitzhak Bar Avdim, who said, Esr Klaus Niskalo Chava, Chava was cursed with 10 curses, but he only mentioned 7. When Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said that the other 3 curses were Atufa Ka'avel, she's wrapped up like a mourner, which Rashi explains that she's embarrassed to go out with her head exposed. Menuda Miko Adam, she's cut off from all people, which is more explains to mean that she's prohibited from marrying 2 men, whereas a man is permitted to marry 2 women. V'chavusha v'vesa asurin, and she's confined to a prison. Rashi cites the pasuk Kol Kvuda Bas Melk Pnima, the entire honor of a king's daughter is inside. A princess doesn't go out and mingle with the kamfolk, even though this is her dignity, it still constitutes a limitation on her freedom. So the curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upwards, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner and performed his antics in front of a modest cat, an honest ant, a dove, and a rooster. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Imali lo nitna Torah, hayinu lamedin snias mechatul. Had the Torah had not been given, we would have learned modesty from a cat, gazam in namala, and not to commit theft from an ant, varayis meyona, not to commit adultery from a dove, and the proper conduct for marital relations from a rooster which first appeases its mate and then has relations with it. Rashi explains that a cat doesn't defecate in the presence of people and it covers its excrement. Ants store in the summer what they'll require in the winter, and no ant steals the food of another, and a dove has relations only with its partner. Daf Kufalov. So the similar Daf Kufalov is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller, that must be more than Daf Kufalov. The bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door dragging on the floor, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hadel Shabamuksa, the door to a backyard, the Chadakim Shabapiritza, and a bundle of thorns that's placed in a gap in the wall, Maksalos, and reed mats, even if these irregular doors are tied to the doorway, ain't known behen. One may not close the entranceway with them on Shabbos, Elim Ken Gvoimina Aretz, unless they're suspended above the ground. Rashi explains that it's prohibited to place them in a position because of the Malacha Bona, and adds that even if they're hanging, if they're touching the floor, it's still forbidden min Rabban because of Mechzik Bona. It appears like Bona. So the bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door, dragging on the floor, put his key to his bird shop on his windowsill, next to the butcher shop, which reminds us. In the next Mishnah, Rebbe Meir prohibited a person standing in Rishus Rabbim from picking up a key in Rishus Yachid to unlock a door in Rishus Yachid unless he made a mechitza 10 tefachim high to convert the area into which he stands to a Rishus Yachid. The Chamim challenged Rebbe Meir with an incident in the butcher's market in Yerushalayim where people would lock their stores while they were standing in the street and leave the key on a windowsill above the door, and the windowsill had the dimensions of Rishus Yachid. This proves that it's permissible to handle a key in Rishus Yachid while standing in the Rishus Rabbim. The Gemara asks on the question that Chamim asked Rabbi Eliezer that their proof is irrelevant to Rabbi Meir's position, since Yerushalayim has the din of a karmelis. As Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim imalit also said, Ninalos balayla chayavin alemishum rishus arabim. Yerushalayim, if it were not that its doors were closed at night, one would be liable for carrying in rishus arabim. Rabbi Papa answered and explained, Kan kodim shenifritzo piritzos, kanu akhur shenifritzo piritzos. Rabbi Yochanan's statement was referring to the status of Yerushalayim before breaches were made in its walls, whereas the mission was referring to an incident that took place after breaches were made in its walls, giving Yerushalayim the status of Rishus HaRabim. So the bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door dragging on the floor put his key to his bird shop on his windowsill next to the butcher shop and used a bolt with a knob on its end to keep the door shut. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Neger Sheish Barosho Gusra, a bolt that's pushed into a hole in the bottom of the doorway in order to be able to close the door that has a knob on its end, and can now be used as an instrument to crush pepper, Rabbi Yezer prohibits its use, and Rabbi Yossi permits it. The Gemara explains that if the bolt's attached and hanging by a cord, everyone agrees that it's permitted to use it because it's clear that it's being used as a bolt, and it doesn't give the appearance of bona. But if it cannot be lifted by its cord because the cord will break, Rabbi Yossi holds that it still can be used because since there is a knob on the end of it, it has Torah's Kli Alav, the status of a Kli, and will not be misconstrued as an act of bona. Rabbi Yezer holds that since the bolt cannot be picked up by the cord, it's viewed as unattached, and therefore can be construed as an act of bona. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas and Shabbos. Number 1, which type of one that had told me that unless he coughs up phlegm in front of his Rebbe, causes others to hate the Torah? That's on Daf. Sadi Tess. Good. Number 2, which type of one that the case of putting things out on the Z's on the ledge was referring to breakable items where there's no concern one would retrieve them from Rishus Rabbim? That's on Daf. Tzadiches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that drinking directly from within 3 tefachim of a roof gutter is prohibited when standing in Rishus HaRabim? That's on Daf. Tzadiches. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda regarding reinserting the bottom and top pivots in the base of Migdash and in the provinces? That's on Daf. Kuf Beis. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that regular doors such as reed mats may not be used to close an entranceway if they're dragging on the ground? That's on Duff. Kufalf. Good. Number 6. Which stuff was it that Rav told Rav Huna to spread out his mat a tefach before Shabbos, then roll it out on Shabbos because it's permissible to add on an ohal rai? That's on Duff. Kufbeis. Good. Number 7. Which stuff the one that if a scroll unrolled from a roof to within 10 tefachim of a shus of rubbing, one should turn it over on the written side? That's on Daf. Tzadiches. Good. Number 8. Which have they learned that if the Torah had not been given, we would have learned modesty from a cat and not to commit theft from an ant? That's on Daf. Kuf. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have about is whether one can make use of the part of a root that bends below 3 tefachim if it first protruded up 3 tefachim? That's on Daf. Kuf. Good. And number 10. Which of the one that one urinates or spits from one rishus to another is chayv because it's considered a halachic akira? That's on Daf. Tzadi test. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Which of the one that one should daven not to get sick? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we make is regarding who is greater, Bali Tshuva or Tzadikim Gemurim? That's on Daf. Lamed Dalet and Brachas. Good. And number three, Wish of the one that stuck a tatzum a mavis and was learned from the story of the person who didn't want to embarrass another person who didn't have bread. That's on Duff. Kufnun Vav in Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.